Welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, let me tell you, dude, this is the place to be where you want to hear a podcast that talks about animation. Welcome aboard, my lad. But specifically, though, it talks about the latest news that happened this week. For example, on this episode, I will be looking into a little bit more details about what Pixar's Coco will be all about. Then we will be looking into the new trailer of a Woody Woodpecker movie. Yes, that actually exists. And then afterwards, we will be looking into a news that unfortunately will make a lot of animation fans kind of angry. Then afterwards, we will be looking into another Fathom Events movie that will be connected with the last one that occurred with Spirited Away. And finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. Then you can head on down to, what I meant to say is, you can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Sorry guys, I kind of lost my place in my script over here, but anyways though, let us begin with what we got with Pixar. Now, as we all know, there are going to be two Pixar films coming out next year. It's pretty much in the similar veins of what happened last year in 2015, where we started off with Inside Out, and then afterwards we got The Good Dinosaur. In here, however, we're actually going to get a Pixar sequel, and then right afterwards we're going to get an original animated feature. Now, we actually do get a pretty good idea of what Cars 3 is going to be about, especially now that we got the trailer that apparently putting Lightning McQueen's life in jeopardy seems to be a great idea for marketing for the feature. But then again, it actually is effective, so I know it sounds crazy, but Pixar ended up being the smart one right over there. But then there's also another animated feature that they're going to be released. It's called Coco. Now, the thing is with Coco is that we all know that it's going to be this animated film that Pixar is going to be released about Dia de los Muertos. But that's pretty much all that we know other than the fact that Lee Unkrich is going to be the director of this film. We don't really know what else is going to be inside of it. We don't know what the story is going to be about, who are going to be the characters, and what are they going to do with this theme of Dia de los Muertos? Well, I will tell you, apparently just this week, Pixar has actually announced what's going to be going on with Coco. Not only about what the plot is going to be, but they also revealed about who the cast will be as well. Now, if I can go into my source here, Entertainment Weekly, here is how they described about what Coco shall be about. And it says, Coco follows the secret musical ambitions of Miguel, who resides in a lively, loud Mexican village, but comes from a family of shoemakers that may be the town's only music-hating household. For generations, the Riveras have banned music because they believe they've been cursed by it. As their family history goes, Miguel's great-great-grandfather abandoned his wife decades earlier to follow his own dreams of performing, leaving Imelda, Miguel's great-great-grandmother, to take control as the matriarch and now thrive. To take control as the matriarch of the now thriving Rivera line and declare music dead to the family forever. But Miguel harbors a secret desire to seize his musical moment, inspired by his favorite singer of all time, the late Ernesto de la Cruz. It's only after Miguel discovers an amazing link between himself and de la Cruz that he decided to go take action to emulate the famous singer, and in doing so, accidentally enters the land of the dead. In the beautiful underworld, it's not long until Miguel encounters the souls of his own family, generations worth of long dead but no less vivacious Rivera ancestors, including great-great-grandmother Imelda. Still, given the opportunity to roam around the land of the dead, Miguel decided to track down De La Cruz himself. He teamed up with another friendly and skeletal spirit, a trickster named Hector, to find De La Cruz, earn his family's blessing to perform, and return to the land of the living before time runs out. Whew! But also at the same time, what is actually very interesting is that Lee Unkrich decided to pretty much go out there and make Coco an all-Latino cast. So all the actors that will be lending their voice in there are all Latino, actually. For example, Benjamin Bratt will be performing as Ernesto De La Cruz. And then we also got Gael Garcia Bernal, who will be playing the role of Hector, I believe. And as for Miguel, the 12-year-old boy who has the passion of music and the main star, Pixar decided they want to do a little bit of the same thing like they did with Auli Cravalho for Moana, and pretty much hire a brand new kid to go and provide the voice of Miguel, which in this case is going to be the 12-year-old, Miguel is 12 years old. What I meant is that, the kid voicing Miguel is actually a kid named Anthony Gonzalez. And, is there anything else that I would mention? Oh, okay, here we go. There is actually a little bit here, a quote from Lee Unkrich saying, "It was important to us from day one that we've had, that we would have an all-Latino cast. It focused us, and we end up with a fantastic mix of people, some from Mexico, and some from Los Angeles." Now, the one thing I would like to say about this movie, and I just want to go and, like, pretty much just let it out now, because I know that this movie is going to have the unfortunate fate that no matter what, like, even when the movie will be released or, like, whenever the news is going to be brought up, like, people are going to be making the comparisons with the Book of Life. Unfortunately, with 2014's Book of Life, that pretty much came out first, so of course everybody is immediately going to go and try to make those comparisons, like thinking, oh, what did the Book of Life, like, let's see what this movie did, and let's see, like, what would be the similarities and the differences with the Book of Life. But pretty much from what I see, like, honestly, with Coco, they really are two different films, both Coco and The Book of Life. I mean, yes, like, there are a few similarities that you can spot. Of course, there is the theme of, or, like, at least the setting of Dia de los Muertos. That's right, that's one right there. And technically, you can definitely see the comparisons between Miguel and Manolo in The Book of Life, where you got someone who is very ambitious about music and wants to go into, like, you know, a bit, like, kind of a career or in the music business. But his family, whether it be Manolo's dad or the generations of family, like, they don't want music. Like, they don't want it to be there. Like, they just want Miguel or Manolo to do what the family wants them to do, whether it be, like, just stay in the shoemaking industry, or just Manolo to go out and be a well-known bullfighter like many generations of his family. So, of course, yes, you got the setting of Dia de los Muertos, and you got the main characters, but other than that, they really are completely different features, and I think the biggest difference of them all that really does separate these two is actually the main theme of the movie. And here's what I'm pretty much talking about. Now, when you look into The Book of Life, the biggest thing that the movie really wants to emphasize is everything about the holiday, about Dia de los Muertos. Like, this, like, Book of Life is pretty much the definitive movie about the holiday, because it really does look into the myth and the lore and the setting, and pretty much it completely emphasizes that whole theme of it, especially bringing in mythical characters like La Muerte and Xibalba and all those other characters, you know, just to really emphasize that it's about, you know, the whole setting, the whole legend, the whole myth and lore about Dia de los Muertos. It's all about that. Where with Coco, on the other hand, you could tell that the big theme is going to be about music, that's the bit, like, that's pretty much the whole thing. Like, it's not really much of a romance story. It's about this kid's passion about music. And, like, it... Oops. Sorry, I kind of banged my elbow there. What I was trying to say is, like, the whole thing... there's actually a quote that actually said it best. Even Entertainment Weekly, they stated that they took a recent trip to Pixar and can now reveal a few additional details about the music-packed but not quite musical film. So you could tell that it's really going to be about the music. It's going to be about Miguel's passion to, like, it really is his drive to go out and, to long for his passion and his dream in a way. Where, like, yes, it does have Dia de los Muertos, but that is going to be treated more like a setting than it is more of a theme or, like, what it's all about. And even, like, an additional thing that I could add about the Book of Life is that it really does, like, it does have this, like, the Book of Life has this huge theme of family. Because that's what Dia de los Muertos mostly is. It's, the whole, or at least for the most part, Dia de los Muertos is about mostly being there for your family, even when they're dead. You know, to make sure, like, you, like, to give a chance for at least make life most of it for the ones who are living. And, you know, to reconnect with the ones who have passed away, the ones who have pretty much left for the land of the dead. That's, like, a major component that the Book of Life emphasizes. I mean, I'm sure there are going to be elements that are there as well. Like, of course, Coco could look into family, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a component more so than music. So that's why I feel like it's going to be two different films. But then again, I know that comparisons with the Book of Life could be unavoidable. But with that said, speaking of the Book of Life, considering that, like, it's kind of like the main subject that we're talking about with Coco, some of you are probably curious regarding the director of the Book of Life, Jorge Gutierrez, and what he thinks about Pixar making another movie about Dia de los Muertos. And funny enough, I would actually not be surprised if that is Jorge Gutierrez's most anticipated film of 2017. Because you can actually see on Twitter, the dude is just so excited for it. He is so happy that this is going to be happening, that there is, like, this massive, there's another movie that's really going to emphasize the culture of Mexico. Rather, like, whichever the element could be, like, even if it is similar to his feature film that does take a page on, like, the holiday of Dia de los Muertos, at least this one will look more into another component, which is more the music of it. And, yeah, you can definitely see that, like, he's pretty much, you know, cheering Pixar on, like, he is pretty much all out and ready to go see this feature film. The only thing is that I do sympathize a little bit with Jorge, because that just means that he has to wait an entire year for the movie to be released. So I'm sure that the people around him are just pretty much trying to calm down a nervous and excited Jorge to see this new Coco movie. You know, that's honestly the only thing that I'm imagining in my head. Just a happy, excited Jorge Gutierrez who has enough energy for a year that, you know, it might go a little bit up and down. That's going, like, or you know what? It's actually, like, the pressure is just building on him. The more that you're getting closer to November 2017, the more the dude is actually getting excited for it. But honestly, yeah, the thing is, since this is a Pixar film, I definitely do trust Pixar that they're probably going to bring out something that's really amazing. Or worst case scenario, it might turn out to be just good. You know, like, I'm actually someone who actually looks upon Brave and The Good Dinosaur, and I still think that they're actually good films. Like, yes, I do agree, they're not up to Pixar standards, but that doesn't mean they're bad films. They're still good on their own. But that's just worst case scenario. And who knows what could actually happen. It could be the best animated feature of the year. But Honestly, we'll just have to wait and see. And I definitely do trust Lee Unkrich as the director of this. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I absolutely adore Toy Story 3. It could possibly be Pixar's best animated feature. And that seriously is saying a lot. I mean, at least with what he did with Toy Story 3, he proved that he can really, really be legit. So maybe now that, he has his hands on an original animated feature like Coco, this can really prove himself and make himself, really legitimate as a director to really get out there and have his name really be prominent among, all the other Pixar directors, with John Lasseter, with Pete Docter, with Andrew Stanton, with Brad Bird. It's not that he already is now. He really is one of the biggest players at Pixar, but, this is really going to, how can I put this? It's kind of like in The Good Dinosaur, in a way, where, he's leaving his mark. This is going to be the one that he's truly going to leave his mark on the silo. I think that's the best way to put it. But we will only have to wait and see with what's going to happen with Coco when the movie will be released on November 22nd, 2017. Now, for our next story, we actually got a trailer for a Woody Woodpecker movie. And I'm sure a lot of you are probably surprised and, you're probably shocked to hear this. I was like, wait, what? There's a Woody Woodpecker movie? How can you not hear this? Because let's be very honest here. If the news of a Woody Woodpecker movie would actually break out, I'm sure a lot of people would hear it. I'm sure a lot of people might actually go out and hype it to the max. I mean, you got, it could be something made, considering that it is from Universal. It could be a move, it could be DreamWorks' next big movie, or it could be another Illumination movie, so the marketing could be very heavy. Well, this is actually not the case here. What they're trying to do, honestly, it's not what you think, and you better put your anticipation down. Because the thing is, with this Woody Woodpecker movie, for one, it's not a big motion picture film. Instead, this is actually a live-action animation hybrid that's made mainly for Brazil. And it's not really called Woody Woodpecker. It's actually called by his Brazilian name, or his Portuguese name, Pica-Pau. And you actually hear it in the trailer, oh my god, and it's really weird. So, what pretty much happened is that we actually got our first trailer of Pica-Pau, it actually sounds kind of dumb to say Pica-Pau. I'm just gonna call it for what it is. It's the Woody Woodpecker movie. So, this is gonna be about Woody Woodpecker, and if you don't know what the plot is, let me just read it out here. Brazilian actress Talia Ayala co-stars as Brittany, girlfriend of a con artist named Lance Walters.
You get it? The animation fans are going to get it. It's funny.
Anyway, which he will be played by Timothy O'Mudson. Who goes on a war with the woodpecker, Lance is determined to build his dream home, but to do this, he will have to take down the birdhouse in a fight that will not be easy. So basically, it's going to be a bit of a 90-minute cartoon where there's this dude who wants to make his house in the forest, but Woody Woodpecker is going to fight for his home, basically. And you could possibly imagine that there could be a tedious, there could be this tedious environmental message that's thrown into it, especially the fact that it's in it's pretty much in a Brazilian movie, so it's kind of like it has that message of save the Amazon in a way. But the biggest thing that this movie would actually provide is, of course, about Woody Woodpecker himself. And with Woody, okay, here's the thing, guys. Keep in mind, this is a live-action animation hybrid. Usually what happens is not pretty. If you had any experience with films such as Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Smurfs, Yogi Bear, or what have you, they, like, the characters usually don't come out looking nice. They just look like computer animated monstrosities. And in a way, that's kind of what you get here. A lot, like, this live action Woody Wood, like, this computer animated Woody Woodpecker, yeah, it does not look pretty whatsoever. Like, I'm not all that impressed, honestly. This is, ugh. Yeah, that's all I can say, is just ugh. But I will hand it to them that it did actually came out a lot better than I thought, and I'm talking more about the computer animation itself. Now, the funny thing is that they decided to make it a bit more cartoony, in a sense, where Woody Woodpecker's moves would be more in keen with something like in Storks or the Angry Birds movie. They decided to do, like, a bit more of that subtle, cartoony computer animation, and it actually does look pretty good. My issue, though, is just the it's pretty much the character design and how they came out by giving it, like, these realistic feathers and trying to make Woody Woodpecker more 3D and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's just not a good look, really. It's just it's more the design that I have an issue. They do actually have talented animators doing the movements of Woody, but it's just in itself, like, the design is just, nah, not really. But then again, I could actually contradict myself, because in a way, it doesn't, like, I do like the animation that they provided, but I feel like it doesn't necessarily make sense for the movie that it's trying to do. Keep in mind, this is a live-action animation hybrid, and usually what they try to do with movies like that, when you look at Alvin and the Chipmunks, when you look at Yogi Bear, when you look at the Smurfs, the movements are more realistic. It's trying to contradict the real life world, well, not contradict, but I mean, it's more to make it seem like it fits in the live action world that it lives in. I mean, the thing is that with the animation they provided on Woody, it would actually work very well if they did that for an all animated feature. But in terms of a like a live action animation hybrid, it just looks like, you know, like, he's not really battling this woodpecker. Like, Lance Walters has to face off with this cartoon. I mean, I guess the best way to put it is that the use of the animation is not in the right place, in a way. Like, I understand that it sounds a bit more difficult. Like, how can you not animate Woody Woodpecker and try to, like, how can you not animate Woody Woodpecker in a more cartoony sense, especially when we're talking about a character that is a lot more ecstatic, like he's known, like, as the crazy kooky woodpecker that would always zip around and, like, always knock on wood, like put on writings on the wall, you know, like, always doing that stuff. I get it, but honestly, like, I think it actually would have been better if they actually do make an all animated Woody Woodpecker movie instead of just making it a live-action animation hybrid. So, I guess the issue is not necessarily that they should have animated Woody Woodpecker more realistically. It's probably more the case that they should have just dropped the entire live-action bit completely and just make it an all-animated Woody Woodpecker movie. And honestly, that would be great. I mean, like, let's be honest. Woody Woodpecker is not necessarily the most popular cartoon character of the golden age. Like, sure, everybody knows about Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse, but not necessarily Woody Woodpecker, you know? Like, he's kind of like, I guess, like, when you look at the position of, like, animation studios, like, you got Disney that's really up there, and right now with Bugs Bunny, he could be, like, either the DreamWorks, or, like, he's like the Illumination of cartoon characters nowadays. And I guess with Woody Woodpecker, he's more like the Blue Sky, I think. Like, that would be the best way to put it. But, well, you know, honestly, I remember watching some Woody Woodpecker cartoons as a kid. I remember, Like, I would actually watch the, there was this cartoon of Woody Woodpecker, like a TV series, somewhere in the beginning or mid 2000s, like all completely dedicated with Woody Woodpecker and featuring, a lot of the characters like, Wally Walrus and, what was it? Buzz Buzzard or something like that, or Buzzy Buzzard. Or I don't know. It's honestly been so long, but you know, like it would actually be really cool to see like the big comeback of Woody Woodpecker. And honestly, with this Brazilian movie, I don't think it's really going to cut it. So eventually, maybe in the next decade, we will see the comeback of Woody Woodpecker. If, you know, honestly, the most realistic scenario that a lot of people would love to see actually happen is if one day Illumination would actually decide to go and make a Woody Woodpecker movie. And, you know, honestly, I would be all open to see the comeback of Woody Woodpecker, you know, just to see, like, you know, a classic cartoon character come back to, like, in a big way, to come back on the mainstream. I mean, if Disney is capable of taking someone like Oswald the Lucky Rabbit and make him popular again and make him be a part of the Disney family, then I'm sure Universal can probably do something with Woody Woodpecker. But I don't know. And we'll have to wait and see when the movie will come out in Brazil in 2017. Okay, now for our next story, I'm sorry to say this, guys, but we kind of have some bad news here. Yeah, I hate to break it to you, and I'm sure a lot of you might be either a little bit annoyed or you might get mad at this. I understand that you guys are trying to wait so patiently for this feature, but unfortunately, you might have to wait a little bit longer again. And what I am talking, of course, is about the most anticipated film from DreamWorks Animation, How to Train Your Dragon 3. Sadly, though, you're not going to be getting it in 2018. You have to wait another year longer. So it's going to be coming out in 2019. Now, ironically enough, for How to Train Your Dragon 3, this is actually the third time that it actually got delayed. Originally, when it was actually announced, the movie was supposed to be released in 2016, in the summer, to be precise. So we were supposed to have it, like, today. Like, it was supposed to be out right now. In fact, like since it was supposed to be released in the summer, we were supposed to have, like, the Blu-ray right now. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Shortly after the release of the sequel, DreamWorks decided to push the third movie a little bit further and decided to put the release date onto 2017. But sadly, considering that we are talking about DreamWorks Animation, things are really not going well for the company. By the time when January came in, well, not this January, but last January, like pretty much that was when disaster struck. When over 500 employees got unemployed, they were pretty much laid off. The Redwood division of DreamWorks pretty much completely shut down. And that's when DreamWorks decided they're pretty much changing their game entirely and they're reorganizing all the different stuff that they got, like pretty much rescheduling all the different movies that they have. So it's no longer going to be 2 to 3 animated features a year. They're just going to release 2 animated films a year. Sometimes they'll end up with just one, where like they'll release an original animated film and then they'll also release a sequel. That's how we ended up with How to Train Your Dragon 3 being scheduled for 2018. Now, we don't specifically know what's going on with the schedule. We don't know what's going on, like specifically the reason why it's pretty much being delayed. We only know that they decided to take How to Train Your Dragon 3 from 2018 to 2019. The most that we got is actually a quote from Dean DeBlois, who is the director of the feature, and he stated, as Hiccup fulfills his dream of creating a peaceful dragon utopia, Toothless' discovery of an untamed, elusive maid draws the Night Fury away. When danger mounts at home with as Hiccup's reign as village chief is tested, both dragons and writers must make impossible decisions to save their kind. Okay, that's not really an explanation on what this is. Like, this is not an explanation about why it's delayed, but that's just a synopsis of what the movie will be about. So we don't, fully know what's pretty much going on behind the scenes, why it ended up being delayed again. But in order to compensate for this, Universal simultaneously actually announced a brand new movie that's going to be coming for DreamWorks Animation. And this one is actually called Everest, which is going to be made by the Chinese division at Oriental DreamWorks. And the story about that is that you got a group of young misfits who actually found this young Yeti. And the mission is that they got to go out and bring him back home in the highest mountain in the world at Mount Everest. And at the same time, they also announced some of the crew members in there. They said that William Davies will be writing the script, and the directors will include Tim Johnson, the director of Home, Over the Hedge, Ants, and Sinbad, and also Todd Wilderman. Originally, Jill Colton was supposed to be the director. She is actually one of the co-directors of Open Season, but we don't know what pretty much happened, but apparently she's pretty much off the team. So basically right now, DreamWorks pretty much laid out the entire list of what's going to be going on with DreamWorks Animation and what their schedule looks like in terms of the movies they know they are going to be releasing. So in 2017, what's going to happen is that we're going to have two movies, which is going to be The Boss Baby and Captain Underpants. And those are going to be the two final feature films that DreamWorks Animation is going to be releasing under 20th Century Fox. And then in 2018, there's only going to be one movie, which in this case is going to be Larrikins. And then you got 2019, where they're going to release How to Train Your Dragon 3 and Everest. So that's pretty much the whole idea. Now, let me just start this off by talking about Everest, and I just want to throw it out there. It doesn't really sound all that exciting. For me, when I first heard about that plot line about, like, a bunch of misfits finding this, like, little baby thing, and they got to bring it back home, to me, that just sounds like they're just copying Ice Age. Like, it's basically the plot of the first Ice Age, except it doesn't sound like you're going to get Scratch shenanigans. That's basically what you get. Like, this move, like, all this is pretty much the first Ice Age. That's it. So I don't, like, and plus the fact that you do have this theme of, like, a cold environment, where in Everest, you kind of got, like, well, Mount Everest, and then Ice Age, well, you got Ice Age. So that, you know, honestly, it just sounds a little too similar, and plus that, honestly, with Tim Johnson on board as the director, and with his recent works that he has done with Home, I'm not all that enthusiastic about it. I'm not saying this is going to be, like, terrible, but I don't think this is going to be up there as, like, one of the more memorable DreamWorks films. Honestly, like, 2019 is all good. It's going to be all about How to Train Your Dragon 3. Actually, the best way to describe it is that it's kind of like this year where we got Kung Fu Panda 3 and Trolls from DreamWorks. And undeniably, Kung Fu Panda 3 is the superior feature film that we got. And Trolls, well, it is one of the weaker DreamWorks films. It's not the worst that we got. Like, it's not the worst animated feature of the year. It's not even the worst film brought by DreamWorks, you know? Like, honestly, what I'm trying to say is that I'm not really enthusiastic about Everest. But honestly, with this entire news that they brought in, that apparently How to Train Your Dragon 3 and Everest are going to be released in 2019, there's actually something that I checked upon that I'm honestly really surprised nobody is covering. Like, not even Cartoon Brew is talking about it. And, you know, it actually does make me wonder, like, what's pretty much happening with Shrek 5 and the Shadows movie, you know, the one that is going to be directed by Edgar Wright. Like, there's no actual reports on what's going on with that with those movies. Like, they were originally scheduled for 2019, and they didn't do anything with it. Like, is it delayed? Are the projects canceled, or what? Like, I even left a comment on the Cartoon Brew article that talked about this, and I brought it out, and I don't know, like, nobody really knows what's going to be going on. Like, they mentioned that, Well, apparently DreamWorks didn't really say anything on what's going on with those movies, but honestly, there could be a really good chance that they're just going to delay it. Because the thing is that Universal and DreamWorks are more committed to pretty much release these films. Just like they just want to go and stick to just releasing two animated features a year. There's no way in hell that they're gonna go and release like suddenly four animated feature films from DreamWorks Animation. That would be a little bit too much. Like, we're not gonna have How to Train Your Dragon 3, Everest, Shrek 5, and Shadows all in the same freaking year. There's just no way. So I can pretty much imagine that there's a strong possibility we'll be seeing Shrek 5 and Shadows somewhere either in 2020 or 2021. Either way, they got to delay those films because apparently the 2019 lineup is already filled. So, that's pretty much what I can imagine so far. But honestly, the one thing that I would want to say about How to Train Your Dragon 3 being delayed is that even though, yes, I do understand the frustrations of the fans that they got to wait a little bit longer for the movie to be released, but one thing I would like to say, however, is that at the very least, I am appreciative that Universal is still, you know, confident to go and release this movie. They're not giving up on How to Train Your Dragon 3. And the reason why I say that is because if you look at The Croods 2, like, at the very least, you know, like, How to Train Your Dragon 3 is still going to be made. With The Croods 2, in a sense, it's going a bit in the same thing. It was going through the same thing as How to Train Your Dragon 3, where there are a little bit of complications going on during production. They had to delay it, and then suddenly it inevitably got canceled altogether. Like, that's pretty much it. But at least with How to Train Your Dragon 3, like, this is the third time now that it's being delayed, and at least you could definitely tell that Universal wants a How to Train Your Dragon 3 to exist, so at least they're giving it that chance. So, that's pretty much the good thing. And one more little tidbit that I just want to add that's actually pretty funny. I don't know if this is really the case with any other feature film, but I think we're going to have the world's first ever trilogy that is distributed by three different companies altogether. Because if you think about it, the first one was released by Paramount, the second one was released by 20th Century Fox, and now we got the third one being released by Universal. Let's just wait and see if there's going to be a fourth one coming out that'll either be distributed by Sony or, very ironically enough, Disney. Oh my god, just imagine Disney's How to Train Your Dragon. Oh my god, dude. But anyways, that's pretty much what's going on with at DreamWorks right now. I understand the frustrations that you gotta wait a little longer for How to Train Your Dragon 3, but hey, look on the bright side. Not only it's going to be made, but it is going to be paying off because you know for a fact that 2019 is really going to start off with a bang. Because I know that everybody, not only are you going to be excited for The Lego Movie 2, but shortly afterwards it's going to be How to Train Your Dragon 3. So yeah, that's going to be pretty exciting. So yeah, if you guys want to go and change your calendars to go and wait for How to Train Your Dragon 3, just remember that movie will be released on March 1st, 2019, while Everest will be released on September 27th, 2019. Now, moving forward to our next story, we are going back with Fathom Events once again. Now, just recently, they have actually organized something a little bit special and a really big treat for animation fans that they decided to go and release the 15th anniversary of Spirited Away onto the big screen, giving audiences that golden opportunity to see one of, if not the best animated feature back in a giant screen, you know, just to experience that amazing moment. They recently did so, and apparently it actually went really, really well. Apparently on its first night, it actually grossed a grand total of $800,000. Now, for just a limited release type movie, and the fact that, like, it was released, I think it was, on a Sunday with just two screenings? That's actually really, really good. But, apparently, they're gonna be doing it again! Believe it or not. And it's the same thing. This is going to be re-releasing a Studio Ghibli film onto the big screen in order to celebrate its anniversary. And I am talking, of course, about Princess Mononoke, honoring the 20th anniversary of the feature film right at the beginning of the year, where they're going to be releasing it right at the start of January. Not at New Year's, but just shortly afterwards. If I may take a quote here, going in my source on Animation Magazine, 20 years after its release, Princess Mononoke remains as an undisputed animated triumph and one of the most thrilling adventures ever produced, says G-Kids president Eric Beckman, which, by the way, yes, this is going to be another thing that is organized in partnership, not just with Fathom Events, but with G-Kids and also Studio Ghibli. Following the great success of Spirited Away returning to theaters, we are excited to present Princess Mononoke in a theatrical setting for fans both old and new. It's also a fitting way to celebrate Miyazaki's birthday as we remind ourselves of the cinematic gifts he has given its audience over the years. So it's pretty much going to be the same thing. Oh, and one more thing I would like to add. In addition to the film, moviegoers will be the first in North America to see the 1995 Miyazaki-directed music video for the Japanese rock duo Chage and Asuka's On Your Mark. Tickets are available through fathomevents.com. So that's pretty much the big thing, is that just not too long, like, pretty much where 1 month you got Spirited Away, and then the next month you immediately get Princess Mononoke, just to celebrate that anniversary. And I couldn't think of a better way to really celebrate it. And this seriously is a massive treat for both animation fans and Studio Ghibli fans. And, you know, it really does sound exciting that Princess Mononoke is going to be coming back on the big screen, because if I could be very honest, out of all the animated features that I've seen, what I really love the most about Princess Mononoke is that it really does have a very strong environmental message. Actually, the strongest that I've ever seen in an animated feature film. Because let's be honest, like, I've seen a lot of movies that would use an environmental message, and for the most part, you could tell that the writers or the filmmakers or the directors or what have you, they don't care about the environment. Like, I've seen movies like the Jetsons movie, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, Norm of the North, like these god-awful garbage films. Like, you could tell that they just want to throw in an environmental message just because, like, they have nothing else to say. Like, there's no, like, they want to throw in this moral because all the stupid kids in this movie, like, who watch this movie, like, they're going to end up being a lot more stupider after they come out of it. So why not just at least throw in, like, this moral about environmentalism just because, like, they just want to throw it in there because they have no other lesson to say. And seriously, it's almost insulting. Like, it really wants you to go and cut down trees. And it doesn't help either that a lot of them, they're just really, really stupid. Like, they make the movie even stupider as it is. Rather it be with Cloudy 2 that it's not just save the animals. No, you gotta save the animals that are made out of freaking food. Like, really. Like, just, you gotta go and say, yeah, save the animals made out of freaking food. Find the logic in that. But anyway, it's freaking, yeah, but with those movies, just find the freaking logic in anything, or just, like, find the freaking logic in the filmmakers thinking that, like, the whole thing is a freaking good idea. Or even with Norm of the North. Oh my god. Norm of the North's environmental message. Yeah, it's not just say, yeah, like, not only do they have to hammer in, like, every 10 minutes to go save the Arctic, no. The real message is, don't build condos in the Arctic. Like, apparently that's a freaking thing. Like, seriously? Are you a freaking serious, dude? Oh my god. And seriously, this is why I'm not a fan of environmental message in animated features. Because it's just a lazy excuse to put in some kind of moral for, for families. Just put in a moral so that the stupid kids watching it would actually learn something instead of just coming out dumber, even though that they actually do. But, with Princess Mononoke, on the other hand, it actually does something a lot more different. It doesn't tell its people what to do. Like, it doesn't command people to go, like, go save the environment, or go protect the Arctic, or go save the animals, or any of that kind of stuff. It doesn't do that. Like, what it's trying to show is that what's going on with the environment is pretty much life. You know, like, this battle of nature versus industrial, you know, it's pretty much a it's pretty much this big battle of, like, two animals just fighting each other. In a way, a lot of people say that humans are technically animals and stuff like that. Like, we're just, like, kind of like a smarter version of a monkey. So what it is basically that humans are no different than the animals in there. You know, and, like, technically there isn't really a villain other than the parasite that's affecting all the gods and Ashitaka's arm. But still, it's actually really, you know, it's honestly really fascinating to see this environmental message taken to a whole new level. And it really is admirable. And now hearing the fact that it's got a chance to be back on the big screen is actually really, really exciting. And if ever the chance that it actually comes near my place, I'm definitely going to take the opportunity, hands down. But I just want to mention, though, that if you guys are excited to go check it out, it's pretty much the same thing like with what they did with Spirited Away. There are going to be two screenings, or three, where there's going to be one that's going to be the Japanese subtitled version, and then there's going to be the English dub. So if you guys want to see the sub, if you guys want to see it with subtitles, then you have to head down to theaters on January 5th, 2017 at 7 p.m. That is a Thursday, by the way. Or if you don't mind the English dubbed version, then you could check it out on Monday, January 9th at 7 p.m. And so, finally, we now have Matt's Pick of the Week. And for this week, I really want to get down into this weird obsession that the internet has. Like, this is just something that I want to try to really understand. And apparently, the internet has a brand new favorite animated feature film. Now, beforehand, for so long, the internet fell in love with Shrek. They really love Shrek, and probably for all the wrong reasons. Like, for some reason, like, Smash Mouth's All-Star became this really weird trend that, like, whenever the song comes out, like, whenever you would hear "Somebody once told me the world is gonna rule me," you know some weird crap is gonna go down. But with Shrek, oh my god, the whole thing with Shrek is love, Shrek is life, oh boy, like, it's crazy, let me tell ya. Man, like, I honestly just don't know what to say about that. Like, holy crap. But anyways, but it seems like the internet nowadays, like, just after the election, apparently, the internet just found out about another DreamWorks movie that they are obsessed with, and that is B-Movie. Yes, out of all the entire feature films that, apparently, that DreamWorks has, it's not really How to Train Your Dragon, it's not Kung Fu Panda, it's not even The Road to El Dorado. It's freaking B-Movie. And the things that they have done with the B-Movie, oh my god. For some reason, here's the thing. Now, the trend that is going on with B-Movie is pretty much everybody wants to take this, they pretty much want to take either the entire movie, or they just want to take the trailer in the movie and remix it to whatever happens. Like, anytime that they would say a specific word, like, something would trigger, like, it would be replaced with another word, or something would happen. Now, I actually got a list of examples right here through my source on Gizmondo.com, and some of the examples would actually include the entire B-movie, but every time they say B, it gets faster. The B-movie trailer, but every word is in alphabetical order. The B-movie but without B's. B-movie trailer, but every B is duplicated. B-movie trailer, but every B is replaced with another letter. The B-movie, but every original B triggers the video to play from the start on a new layer. The B-movie, but every time they say B, Shrek screams, "Donkey!" And probably my favorite one on the list, B movie, but every B is replaced by Barry B. Benson, and every Barry is replaced with B! And then sometimes, like, you don't get actual videos, but some people just use titles to show the ridiculousness of this entire trend. Like, I actually have a couple examples. One of them I actually found on Facebook, but actually, there is one example that Gizmondo actually proved, like, with a crazy title. There's one that is called Ants, but every time they say Ant, it gets replaced by the B movie, but every time they say B, it is replaced by the Nutshack theme, but every time they say Nutshack, it is replaced with the entire Marmaduke movie. And then there is another one, the one I found on Facebook, it is the entire B movie, but every B is replaced with the Shrek saga, but every vowel is replaced with the entire Godfather trilogy, but every 10th word is replaced with the Nutshack theme, but every Nutshack is replaced with the entire B movie. And they pretty much advertise that, like, those ones are, like, pretty much long. And like, I literally do mean stupidly long, because, like, the one that I just said, apparently it has a running time of 3,500 hours. Now, I don't know, I don't think this actually exists, and it only shows, like, the entire absurdity of this meme. And, yeah, like, I think that's the whole point. It's to show, like, it's meant to show the entire point of, like, the ridiculousness of how far you could take this meme. And it's really, really crazy. And honestly, like, this has been going on for a while, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm just pretty much thinking to myself, like, why B-movie? Out of all the movies out there, like, it seems like such a random choice to suddenly pick B-movie, and just suddenly the entire internet decided to go crazy with it, you know? And keep in mind, one thing I just want to mention is that this trend is stupidly popular. I kid you not. It is honestly really crazy. Like, I'm trying to go, I want to go into my sort, like, I just want to go into one of them to show a great example of what I mean, is that, like, how this trend is actually really huge. Like, I'm going on YouTube right now, and I'm going, and I'm choosing the entire B movie, but every time they say B, it gets faster. Believe it or not, it, like, right as I'm recording this, it actually has 13 million views. 13 million views to watch a 7-minute video of the entire B movie, but every time they say B, it gets faster. I kid you not, it's crazy. And so I pretty much decided to go and do what I do best, and that is to go research, why is it that the internet has this weird, crazy, obsession with the B movie? And, like, try to figure out, why did they go with the B movie out of all the animated films? Like, seriously, it's the most random choice that you can ever go with, especially the fact that not too long ago, the movie just turned 9 years old. So this is not a relatively new feature film, but it's entirely random. So anyways, I decided to go and do a little bit of research and stuff like that. And the one that actually did help me out the most in this case is actually knowyourmeme.com. And that actually provided me some good information about what it is. So allow me to explain to you the story of how the internet decided to fall in love with the B movie. So here's the thing. It actually started out not too long ago. It actually began in the summer, believe it or not. And it was actually brought up by Jerry Seinfeld. And Jerry decided to go and publicly ask on Twitter about, how would you guys feel if a B movie 2 would go and exist? You know, nothing is official. He didn't talk to DreamWorks Animation to go and actually make a B-movie 2. Like, it was just an idea that Seinfeld had in his mind. Because keep in mind, the whole thing with the B-movie is that it's actually the brainchild of Jerry Seinfeld. That's why he is not only the star, but also the executive producer. So that pretty much caught on, and it actually went into Reddit, and a lot of people were pretty much discussing, like, would they actually want a B-movie, or is it a crazy idea? And naturally, a lot of people think that it's just a really crazy idea. But honestly, nowadays, not really, because, I mean, honestly, any animated film nowadays can really get a sequel. I mean, the thing is, next year we're getting The Nut Job 2, which is literally a sequel that nobody asked for. So that's the thing. Like, if you want to go and make a sequel to the B-movie, I honestly don't see why not. Like, at this point, like, I guess we kind of gave up on, like, what could be, like, if a sequel would actually really mean something. But anyways, the thing is that ever since then, people are kind of making fun of, like, this idea of a B-movie 2. And what eventually happened is that, this idea kind of grew crazier and crazier. And people are just, like, going back, like, they're just thinking back into the B-movie and all the weird things that pretty much happen. Some of these ideas would also include, like, the relationship with, apparently the idea of the relationship with Barry B. Benson and the human Vanessa. Like, how, like, apparently they're saying that it's bestiality. No pun intended, that's literally what they call it. Another thing is that a lot of people are really obsessed with, they're really obsessed with the script. And this was actually a trend at one point that a lot of people would go and, like, they would just, like, they would put up this post of the entire script of the B-movie in this one page. Or, like, they would just think up of different memes to use with the script. Like, there's actually one that I have to admit is actually really hilarious, where you got this douchebag guy, and, like, he's texting this girl, and he's just texting her, "Hey, girl, can you show me your tits?" And the girl legitimately responded to him with the entire B-movie script. So it's like, you actually see this, you just see this this entire thread of on someone's phone, the guy asks, like, "Can you show me your tits?" And then the girl responded with, "According to all known laws of aviation, there is no way a bee should be able to fly. Its wings are too small to get its fat little body off the ground. The bee, of course, flies away because bees don't care what humans think is impossible. Yellow, black, yellow, black, yellow, black, yellow, black. Ooh, black and yellow." So, like, you know, I have to admit, whoever wrote that, like, deserves a medal. That is actually really hilarious. But then suddenly, I guess, honestly, I think it was that video that I mentioned, B movie, but every time they would say B, it would go and get faster. That was really the one that initiated this entire trend of taking B movie, but then something would actually happen. And that's pretty much how, and I guess that's the whole story with the whole B movie meme that at least is currently going on right now. Where it all started out as an idea of B-movie 2, and then people are just thinking a little bit too much with what's going on in the B-movie, and suddenly they decided to go and take this entire obsession with it, where they would want to go and take it farther. And that's why we would go and see different websites like BuzzFeed or Mashable or Smosh. Like, they would highlight these, they would give a highlight to these videos and just show, like, all these different remixes of what people would do with the B-movie. So that's basically the thing. That's the whole thing. And honestly, like, if a B-movie 2 happens, like, honestly, I wouldn't know how to feel about it, but honestly, the thing is that it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever, because here's the thing. Technically, when you think about, like, what's going on with Shrek, like, not too long, like, this year, they did announce that there's going to be a Shrek 5. So certainly, it would actually do mean something about, like, internet culture and how that can really be influenced to go and revive something. So I wouldn't be surprised if DreamWorks would actually respond to this and actually go out to make a B movie too because of what everybody's been talking, like what everybody's pretty much doing with freaking B movie, honestly. Like, it's just crazy. And I mean, like, I won't interfere with everybody. Like, I'm not gonna say, like, this meme should stop. Like, if everybody's having fun with it, like, go right ahead. If it serves as a great escapism for the 4 years of what could possibly be Putin's puppet, like, you know, go nuts with it. But honestly, like, you know, I just find, like, this is just overall the internet just being the internet, you know? Like, everybody has the, like, going out there with this weird obsession with Shrek is love, Shrek is life, B-movie, but let's just reorganize it because apparently it's not perfect enough that you just leave B-movie as just the B-movie, or that everybody would go and declare the greatest anime of them all would be Cory in the House. But overall, and it certainly is a wonderful anime, I highly recommend Cory in the House, like one of the greatest things you can ever find from Japan. But overall, like, yeah, it's just crazy. Honestly, I just feel like it's just crazy. This is just the internet being crazy. And if you guys enjoy it, go right ahead. And if you want, if you guys enjoy this weird YouTube poop style humor, I guess B-movie, it definitely is going to be for you. So just go nuts with it. And oh my God, this is just, yeah, honestly, like, I don't know what else to say. It's just the internet just being the internet, you know? Like, at least it's the harmless weirdness of the internet. That's the best way to put it. But anyways, that is all that I've got for this week. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at animat505. If you have listened to this episode on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind just going out there and rate and review this episode? Or you can even remix it, where every time I would say B, something else would happen. Or if you have listened to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like video and leave us a little comment about your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next time, see you later, dude!